the Halifax Daily News with Jamie and Lisa.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Halifax Daily News. I'm Jamie Patterson.
And I'm Lisa Blackburn. Hey, remember a couple of weeks ago when we chatted with Sarah McLachlan?
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about giving her your curling trophy?
Yes.
Well, you better polish up that trophy, pal. She's going to be hitting the Metro Center November the 19th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Prices, not too bad, between 60 and 80 bucks. And she's actually going to be making stops in Moncton and St. John's, Newfoundland. And this is all part of the tour in support of her new album called Shine On.
Last time we saw Sarah McLachlan was at an intimate setting.
Yes.
We were over dinner and she brought you to tears.
Oh, she's absolutely amazing. Yes, she was awarded, she was given the Humanitarian Award. Last time she performed in Halifax, by the way, it was 2011.
And that was the first time she was back in a while. We chatted with her about that and she said she went to Tony's Pizza, where she got a slice right over by Dal there, because that used to be one of her hangouts.
One of the haunts, yeah. Well, I guess that whole limes are way too expensive and in short supply thing is over. Shot a picture of this and tweeted it out yesterday. Limes, 10 for a dollar at the superstore.
See, this podcast really works. We put the fear of God into people. They stayed away from the limes, and now the Lime Growers Association of the world are going, oh my God.
We got to do something.
Quick, slash prices. We got to get rid of these limes.
Heads up, on Thursday, there's going to be a gas sale. Now, I'm not sure if other superstores are going to be doing this, but the superstore in Sackville is going to be offering 5 cents off a liter from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. on Thursday. So expect some serious lineups there. And an update on a story that we brought you a few weeks back, or maybe it was just last week, about Just for Cats, the cat film festival seems to have forgotten Halifax. Well, they have heard the cry, they have found our need, and they have slotted us in.
Really?
Just for Cats is going to be playing at the Spats Theater on June the 7th.
Spats for Cats.
Spats for Cats. That's actually, you know what? That's exactly what they're calling it.
Really?
So, yeah, Spats for Cats on June 7th.
And we have a guest in the Beaver Bank Bunker, Constable Donnie Jenkins.
Hey there, nice to see you.
Good to be seen here at the Beaver Bank Bunker and glad to have you with us. You were a frequent guest back in our radio days and so glad that you were able to join us now on this new venture.
Couldn't say no. I'm privileged once again to be here.
Now, this weekend, the police force, you're doing something extra special at Micmac Mall. What's up with that?
You betcha. It's the kickoff of National Police Week. We're going to be at Micmac Mall, the Bay Court, from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m., the mall normal hours. And we're going to be having many police officers from the Halifax Regional Police, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, some military police officers will all be on hand. We're going to have a number of vehicles set up at a static display outside the Old Navy entrance. And at the Bay Court, we're going to have many tables set up and a lot of resource officers present to answer your questions, comments, and address your concerns about policing.
So Micmac Mall, probably not the best place to do any shoplifting this weekend, I would say.
I would say not. There's going to be a lot of us in presence.
And it's, you know, that is a great opportunity to see hands-on and get to know what police work is all about.
Certainly, you know something, I've always been very envious of you working within the radio industry. You have a tremendous venue where you can reach out and have contact with a very large number of people. Us as police officers, usually it is only that sanitized version of what people will talk about us or show us on TV. So to be able to come to this neutral environment, see us such as we are, be able to speak with us, and the thing that I like about having conversation with us is there's an awful lot of people out there, they may have preconceived ideas about policing, what it's all about. It's great for people to come to us with their comments or concerns, and we can actually address them. We can talk about the reality of what is involved in our profession.
Now, do you find that people in an event like this, they do drop their guard and they come to you more as people than police officers?
I find that the setting in and of itself does make it more or less as if you're sitting in your kitchen and you're having a pleasant conversation with someone.
Kind of like we are right now.
No question about it.
Although that tool belt that you're wearing there with the gun and the... What else do you have on that belt?
Well, you want to know something. There's an awful lot of people. That is one of those rare times. In such close proximity, they start pointing. Well, what's that? What's that for? Everybody knows we have to carry a firearm.
Okay, there's your gun.
handcuffs. We have to carry pepper spray. We have to carry extra ammunition, a collapsible baton, a multi-purpose tool is a very handy thing to have, and a flashlight. And of course, it's in my vehicle right now, but we have a large portable radio. There are many things that we have to have that are in the interest of public safety to protect ourselves, protect other officers, and the citizens.
Now, you say a collapsible baton. Is that just in case there's a parade in town that you have to...
Well, you know, we used to carry this long, fixed baton. It was 26, 28 inches long. It was a big, huge, thick thing. And to be honest with you, it was somewhat cumbersome to carry around. So the collapsible baton, it actually folds up as in the same principle like an accordion would. It's made out of aircraft-grade aluminum, and it makes it very, very convenient to carry and also equally convenient to use.
Now, baton, nightstick, same thing?
Six in one, half dozen the other. Same expression.
Okay.
Now, is that one of the most asked questions when you get into one of these police week scenarios? You know, what's on the tool belt? What's on the utility belt?
Well, what's on the utility belt? People want to have a look at the inside of the police cars. We'll have several police cars inside the mall. And again, the static display outside the Old Navy entrance. So people can actually see, oh, this looks like a particular type of vehicle. But to see what we have inside it so that the citizens can actually see what we have. From the laptops to the LIDAR to the radar to maybe the silent patrolman. And many times we have the back seats removed from the vehicles, and it's actually a prisoner transport module that we have in the back that it's made out of like hard plastic, hard acrylic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they see how the inside of the vehicles are actually made to suit us.
Now, do you recruit people during this?
Yeah, we do in fact have people from time to time who ask us questions about recruiting. And of course, the prominent one about recruiting is not where am I going to have to go for training, how long is this going to be? They want to find out when is the next time that Halifax Regional Police is recruiting. I wish I had an answer for that. Mm. Even at this time, I honestly don't at this point.
So it's not like a yearly thing. It's whenever you need people.
It's based upon the need of the department. The wonderful police term we use is operational needs is one of the expressions we use.
Right.
Just like we have no comment right now, the investigation continues, that sort of stuff.
And you did that well, by the way.
There you go, thank you. People are going to have to put up with some of those cliche comments during Police Week because that is, in reality, the standard honest answer we have for various things.
Now, I'm looking at your belt once again.
Sure.
It's pretty full. Where do you put the taser? Do you have a taser?
Well, you know, in my current capacity, I do not have a taser. A lot more of the frontline patrol officers, the officers on watch working the 12-hour shifts, the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., then, of course, the 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. There's going to be several officers on each shift in each division. They will have a taser, and it's typically on their thigh. It's on a low-ride holster. Because you can imagine, as you're seeing now, there's only so much space we have on the tool belt.
That's
and you'll
pretty
also
cool,
notice
yeah.
we keep everything from the side to the front. You don't want to have things from the side into the back. If you take a tumble or it's irresponsible to be involved in some form of confrontation with someone and take your hand and reach behind you, you want to keep anything you may need to use to your front or at most to your side so that if you have to quickly deal with someone, defend yourself, you'll be in a better position to do so.
Now, here's a question that you may hear, probably hear, at Micmac Mall this weekend. Is there a ticket quota?
No, there is no such thing as a ticket quota. You know, there are officers, we do have a traffic division, and we are on patrol. There is an expectation. We are police officers. We are not only going to be enforcing the criminal law, there is the Motor Vehicle Act. There is the Liquor Control Act. There are other acts that we are obligated to enforce. So it is anticipated through a 12-hour shift, surely we are going to be seeing some violations that it would be appropriate to take action on. But no, there is no such thing as a quota.
But there are easier places in the city to position oneself in order to give out the most tickets.
No question about it. There's definitely some areas where we have chronic reoffenders that it's great when the citizens actually tell us where to go. And let's face it, folks, that's one of the legitimate times
wait a second.
Can tell a police officer where to go.
Now, earlier you told me that, back to the taser here, because sure. I'm fascinated by that thing. You had to do the training for the taser. Everybody that trains with the taser, you have to get tased.
The officers that became instructors in the years gone by, one of the crowning things that we had to do at the end of the course, or to say we satisfied all the requirements of the course, is you had to be tased.
So that you know what you're inflicting on somebody. Is that why, or is it kind of a fun thing?
You are a fun thing. Thanks, Jamie. We'll talk about the psyche of cops on a whole other show. So the fact of the matter is, believe it or not, to give us a fuller appreciation as to exactly what it does to the body.
So can you describe what it felt like?
Life, as I know it, came to a standstill. The taser per second in my day when I took the training, pulsates 15 times per second.
Wow.
I counted each of those 15 pulses over the standard 5-second time period.
How many people wet their pants?
You know, something doesn't happen.
Really?
If it happens, it would be an exception to the rule, because typically you don't mess your pants. You completely lock up. And in training, we always had two officers, one officer on either side of you that would catch you when you fall down.
Right.
So in reality, it's probably the exact opposite. You probably can't go to the bathroom for quite some time afterwards. Everything's clenched up.
That's true at the time. Everything tightens up. But the fact of the matter is this. Once the electrical current is turned off, mm-hmm. the effect is gone. You may feel a little bit tired for an incredible short time, as in maybe just a whole bunch of seconds or potentially precious few minutes, but that's it. And then you're fine. You're right back to normal.
Wow.
Mm.
I mean, sometimes some incredibly goal-oriented people who are being particularly very violent at the time, as soon as the standard 5-second burst is turned off, they may be right back into the fight. Then you have to turn it back on again. See, the thing about the taser is it greatly reduces the likelihood of us having to use lethal force on someone.
I got to ask you, in terms of all your, I guess I can call it weaponry
Go
on
ahead.
Your belt.
Sure.
Which have you used and which haven't you used? Have you tased somebody before?
Have I been involved? I have been present when another officer who's used the taser mm-hmm. has had to use it. Mm-hmm. It worked as we needed it to work. The citizen was not injured. We as police officers were not injured. It brought the situation, it resolved it to a peaceful solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the baton?
The baton, yeah, there's been a couple of times that I have actually had it out, and precious few times that I have actually had to strike somebody with it. But that also prevented me from escalating my use of force to something much higher. And that was at the time when we did not have tasers.
Mm.
And you see, you have to bear in mind, as unpleasant as it may be to be involved in it, we must, when involved in any kind of a situation with aggression, we cannot fight to a standstill. We must always use a greater degree of strength and or blatant aggression to win the confrontation, to seize control of the person.
Mm.
What about the gun?
What about the gun? I, as in with other officers, I have actually had it out,
mm-hmm.
and I have had it pointed at any number of individuals throughout my 30 years on the job, and it was me being prepared to potentially take a life because my life was in jeopardy,
right.
The life of another officer and or a citizen.
But you've never used it?
I have not discharged my firearm at a citizen.
If you polled everybody on the Halifax Police Force, what do you think the percentage of people who have actually used a gun on somebody is?
The vast majority of officers, going back through history to current day, have never fired their firearm at a person. And you know something? That would be the kind of thing that would get phenomenal media attention. You may recall the beat officer who up on, Gottigen Street or Barrington Street last mm-hmm. week, bought a sandwich for a street person, I believe,
yes.
for lack of a better choice of words. Got a little bit of coverage, but then gone away. What a wonderful thing for the officer to do.
Yeah.
But if we were to do something where there's aggression involved or violence, force, whatever choice of words you want to use, that's going to be front page news. There's a chance of being an inquiry and we're the terrible people that we are.
So that's another reason for having this police day.
No question about it. We want people to be able to come and see us. And that's another one of the reasons why we have all the different things on our tool belt relative to the individual and the degree of violence they may be using. We have to have different tools of the trade to be able to overcome that violence and to be able to take control of the individual.
Now, is there a checklist or a progression when it comes to using the weapons at your disposal? Is it you must first use A, and then if that doesn't work, then you must use B and so on?
Well, we realize that in a perfect world, the mere presence of the authority of a police officer showing up, we would hope that people would obey the law. They would stop doing what they're doing.
Nine times, 9.5 times out of 10, it is.
Well, I just wet myself right now.
Well, there you go.
I just thought I would tell
you
that.
So we would hope that our presence, in fact, would seek compliance with the law. If that doesn't work, then you initiate some form of verbal contact, calling out to people, talking with people. If that doesn't work, we have something that's called soft contact. You try to reach out and get the person's attention, tapping their arm, their shoulder, saying, hello, I'm here sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then it can be potentially escalating from there that relative to what type of force and or resistance the person uses, you may find yourself involved in an all-out fight. Now, when I first started talking about this, of what we hope to do, there's many, many situations. We're bailing out of our vehicle because we have responded to a situation that's already completely off the rails. So it's not really appropriate for us to say, hello, you there, stop doing what you're doing, because we're more concerned of jumping into the fray and defending someone. Every time we as police officers act, we are lawfully obligated and only permitted to react proportionately to the aggression, to the force that we are dealing with.
So basically on your belt there, you've got like chess pieces. And you go, should I take them out with the bishop or do I have to bring the queen out?
That's a very good analogy. I couldn't agree with you more.
I would not want to play chess with you. Constable Donnie Jenkins, thank you so much for dropping by the Beaver Bank Bunker, my friend.
The pleasure's mine. And just one last thing I'd like to throw in about our police day. We are having a prescription drug drop-off. It's a second annual prescription drug drop-off that is hosted by our public safety office with Halifax Regional Police and through HRM and the RCMP. And we're asking citizens, let's take those medications that are expired or the ones that you no longer use out of the medicine cabinet. Either take it to us, where we'll have people from Capital District Health who will seize them, catalog them, and or, you know, at any time, you can always take these back to your pharmacy and they'll be more than happy to dispose them for you.
All right, so take them to Micmac Mall. Do not drop them off at the white van that's parked in the alley behind the mall give it to the guy named Zeke. Okay.
You betcha. And you know something? Let's not flush them down the toilet, put them down the sink, or out in the green bins, because remember, they are a chemical. Let's make sure we dispose of them properly.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure's always mine. Thank you.
Hey, we have a lot of great stories coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to find out what's going on at the Sakawa Canoe Club as they gear up for the spring and summer season. A lot of champions have come out of that little club in Sackville, and we'll find out more.
So join us when once again we're in the Beaver Bank Bunker.
Until then.